It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new comic book series with ties to Wisconsin. It's called Local Man, and superhero action comes to a fictional small town called Farmington, Wisconsin. You can be part of this comic book conversation. Call in with a question, share thoughts anytime, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Seeley is here, co-creator, writer, and artist of the comic book Local Man, published by Image Comics, and native of Ringle, a town near Wausau, I should add. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Local Man starts with Jack Xavier returning to this small Wisconsin town where he grew up after being kicked off the superhero team, third gen, and he starts investigating the murder of this villain, the Hodag, which we know is named after the mythological beast of Rhinelander. So why set the story in a fictional town but also include many references to real things in Wisconsin?
I felt like that I had not seen a superhero story set in rural Wisconsin before, and it's obviously something I have a lot of experience with. And I've always kind of noticed that, you know, when you put in details that relate to people, they just sound more honest, and I think the characters inhabit a world that seems more real. But we made it fictional because we didn't want the town is kind of terrible in a lot of ways. It's kind of a town in which all the major industry is fled and. It's kind of just holding on by a string, and it's somewhat corrupt as well. So we didn't want to call out a real place. So we made up a fake place that's kind of a combination of a bunch of different ideas that it feels like a town, but it's also like worse than any real town.
So can you give us, you know, example of what is rural crime noir? How does this fit that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of like a good genres that are films that have been made in the genre. I guess would be like Fargo or something.
Sure.
The idea, I think, and I love those kind of stories, is to sort of show these things that people associate with cities. You know, the noir genre almost always takes place in Los Angeles or you know, or New York or Chicago, and a lot of those elements there, I think they play really interestingly in a small town. It's more intimate. Everybody knows what you're doing. There's nowhere to escape. And I did a previous series called Revival, which was also a set in Wisconsin, but in my hometown of Wausau. And so this one, I wanted to try a different genre. That one was more of a supernatural horror story. And this one, I dug back into my childhood and pulled out lots of these 90s superhero ideas and set them in my a town that felt very much like someplace I grew up.
So 90s superhero ideas. Like, what is a day in the life like for these superheroes in Local Man?
Well, I mean, he comes from this team called Third Gen, and they're based on in the early 90s, they started making superhero comics pretty much exclusively for 13-year-old boys. Those comics tend to have this very distinct aesthetic, which they are really aggressive, and they are really brightly colored, and they are often, like, sexy, but only for 13-year-old boys, and for no one else. But they were full of creative energy, and they were full of life. So I like them, but I also hate them. So I kind of wanted to tell a story with these kind of characters. And one of my things that we sort of observe in the book is that 90s superheroes were like not that concerned with saving the day. They were sort of more concerned with beating stuff up or, you know, looking cool. Like that was sort of the main motivation for that era of superhero comics. So we kind of make fun of it. Our character comes from a team of which most of the time he had no idea what it was they were doing. He was just running around, you know, beating up bad guys and not really understanding how this helped anyone. But all of them kind of just went through it because it was a way to be powerful and cool and famous.
So a theme of Local Man is people leaving their hometown to pursue those bigger dreams, bigger opportunities. And when problems arise, they return home feeling a bit like failures. Why did you want to explore that experience, that theme?
Honestly, because it's kind of my nightmare. I grew up in Ringle. It's a lovely town, a great place, but there was nothing for me. I'm a creative, I guess, by trade, and there's obviously not a lot of jobs for people like me in places like that. So I had to leave to do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a big part of it was when you leave your town to justify it for yourself, you kind of have to feel like, you know, that you're angry and you're sort of punk about it. And then you tell everyone, like, I'm going to go do this. And that's why I'm leaving. And, you know, I'm leaving my family and my high school girlfriend and all these sort of things. And then if you go and do those, try to do those things and you fail, it's sort of like you're admitting that, you know, even though the other parts of the world had something for you, you couldn't take it. And I think, you know, just for me, it's just sort of this in the back of my head nagging fear that, you know, I'd have to crawl back and be like, you know, sit at the bar and Ringle and admit like, yeah, I couldn't hack it. And,
well, Ringle's calling you now and saying, look, Tim, we've got robust broadband here. You can work remotely and do all the creative right. things you want.
Well, I mean, that's
ready.
The thing is
they've got the speech ready.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing now, you know, that is possible since the pandemic. But, you know, it's also sort of a thing of like, as much as I loved being in those places and having left, like now I can't go back. You know, like I'm a different person. I've lived in Chicago for 20 some years. And, you know, it's just sort of the difference of what you become. And maybe, and we kind of play with that in the book too, is just, you know, Jack is not the same guy. He's lived a different life. And I think he struggles to relate, you know, especially to his parents and to the people he used to know. I mean, they all hate him too, which I hope wouldn't be the problem when I went home. But that's a big part of our story.
We're in conversation with Tim Seeley, comic book writer and artist, co-creator of the comic book Local Man, which is set in Wisconsin, small town Wisconsin, fictional. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tim, individual monthly issues of Local Man are flip books. One side of the issue is illustrated by your co-creator, Tony Fleeks. Other side is you, your illustrations. How do you and Tony collaborate on the writing and the artwork?
So the cool thing about comics is they're very collaborative just in general. You know, comics kind of, because they come out so quickly, very often there's one person writing, one person drawing, one person coloring. But in our case, we are both cartoonists. We both draw and write. So we thought it would be interesting if we both did the book and sort of, you know, both wrote the story and both drew on it. And the decision we sort of made was that Tony had a style that would fit the modern day much better than me. So he would draw the bits that took place where, you know, it happened now. And anything that was a flashback would be me. And I also have a very useless superpower, which is I can sort of mimic any other comic book artist. So part of it is I draw like other artists from the era of which the story takes place in those sort of flashback moments. So Tony has to do all the really hard work and I just do the fun stuff.
How do you craft these flashbacks or these, you know, backstories on characters you've known in a creative sense for like a long time? How do you think up those, you know, stories that are way back for the character?
Well, one of the things we want to do is that every flipbook story it gives you some amount of information for the current story. So you know, we play it like a mystery and the flashbacks at first may seem like they're not related. But as you unfold this big mystery that you start to see, oh, here's all the things that of that story that were important, a little bit of clue that I didn't know was a clue, you know, just trying really to make it very engaging for the reader. I think, you know, a big part of a strength of comics is how much engagement is inherent in it. You have to fill in that gutter in between those panels with your own version of what happened. And so if we kind of manipulate that, we can really make this fun for the reader to sort of dig into it and imply their own story. And so that's kind of how we, you know, we figure out what we need to tell you and what's most important, but also what you'll have fun digging for.
Tim, you've been at this a long time. How can an aspiring comic book writer or artist find an audience for their work?
I mean, it's much easier now than it was when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, you had to go to the local copy shop, which I used to do, and spend your Burger King money on copies and then go to a comic convention and drop them around and hope somebody looks at it. I used to like leave them in the bathroom at comic conventions, hoping someone would take them. Now you have the internet. So if you're an aspiring comic book creator, put them on the internet. You can use your own platform, your own website. There's a great website called Webtoons that has a platform of which you can just load your stuff up. Obviously you're competing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of other cartoonists, but from around the world, but it's much easier now to get your story out. It's just much harder to find a passionate audience with so much competition.
Yeah, but just step one is put yourself out there with your artists, your artistry,
yep,
your work. Yeah.
One of the things I when I talk to people, I teach at school, so a lot of kids are sort of like, well, I don't want someone to steal my idea, in which I always say, if it's good and people steal it, it means you did a good job. So you want to be out, you know, keeping it in your head, it helps no one but, you know, and not you at all. So getting it out there, I think, is more important than anything.
So looking at Local Man, published by Image Comics, the marketplace, third largest direct market comic book publisher behind Marvel and DC, 11% thereabouts market share. Image only publishes creator-owned comic books. How important to you is retaining that creative control and the publishing rights to your creations?
I mean, for me, it's everything. Image debuted in 1992 when I was 15 years old, and the notion that, you know, and it was in revolutionary sort of at the time, was that the creators would be their own bosses. They would do what they wanted. As long as Image decided they liked the book, they would support it. And, you know, it's a rare thing in creative fields for the creator to be able to have the ownership of their characters and make those decisions. And it's also, you know, obviously everything for Marvel and DC, everything you make up for them is theirs now. And if they put it in a movie, you know, 15 years later, I mean, they might pay you, but they might not. And so much of this is just it's the spirit of Image that's so important to me, that this exists, and it's we need to cherish it. And so I try to really make everything I do with them is just absolutely best I can, and respectful and really thankful.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tim Seeley, co-creator, writer, and artist for the comic book Local Man, published by Image Comics. Portfolio includes working on mainstream comics, including G.I. Joe and Nightwing. Grew up in Ringle, as we talked about. Lives in Chicago. Teaches illustration at Columbia College. You can follow a link to view cover art and pages from Local Man, issue number 1. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.